my boss ladies, listen up, put your headphones on and rock.
Hey everybody, it is your favorite podcast host Renee. In today's episode, we had the luxury of sitting down and brunching with the renowned Cindy Gunraj. If you want to hear what the mother, then stay tuned.
A friend of mine, Miss Cindy.
Hello. Hello, Renee. It's so great to be on again.
No problem. So today's topic is about mending relationships. And I came up with this after realizing this time of quarantine, it's kind of putting us in a place where we have to mend those relationships. And so I know you're basically the best person to talk about. So I want you to speak about what you do and the program that you have going on right now.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I love that you're saying mending relationships, because it really is a great time to, you know, you and I talked about the importance of taking this time to self-reflect, you know, because in quarantine, if we haven't looked at stuff, this is the time it's coming up. So, you know, looking at it, it's almost like we're in a corner and we need to look at it. And I found, you know, I'm a transitions coach. I'm a mother and daughter coach, author and speaker. And my first book was called Winning Your Parents' Approval for Divorce. And it really centered around understanding my parents, actually, and really I dove into the connection between my mom and I. And that is what I'm going to focus on today, is when you have that dissonance with your mom, how do you navigate that? And that is key, I found in my life, because when I took the time to examine that, I started seeing how much it was linked to the way I saw the world, the choices I made, and how I felt about myself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I think that's so big, especially for us women. You know, there's that saying, you look for somebody like your father, but also too, I think that there is, a notion that you become your mother, you know, because that's the first woman person you see if you have a mother, you know, around.
Right. Yes. And, you know, like there were things that I noticed in my, it wasn't after until, you know, after my divorce that I hit the pause button and look at my relationships with my family, because that is really what shook me up the most. And to give a recap to folks who haven't heard the previous podcast, it's really, I went through a really difficult divorce where I had to, you know, I was looking for my parents' support, emotional support in particular, and I got, you know, they didn't understand and support, and in fact, the opposite of they were so confused as to why I would want to leave a marriage, but the marriage was toxic. And this is what really opened up the Pandora box, if you will, for me to understand how my relationships were influenced at a young age.
Got you. So do you feel like your childhood, I don't want to say trauma, but your childhood preview of life kind of, I don't want to say tainted, but had a bitter taste for your adulthood. Would you say that or no?
I would say it definitely set up the foundation for how I saw my intimate relationships.
Okay.
So for example, you know, for me, I looked at my parents, they were the first couple. right? The first mm-hmm. couple that I saw, they were my parents, but the first couple relationship, right? Intimate relationship. And, you know, it was interesting because, you know, my parents, a lot of affection wasn't really shown physically with them, you know, it wasn't really verbally, but they supported each other in other ways, you know? So it's like, I then took that and I saw, oh, well, you know, that's how it is. So does that make sense? That's an example. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So do you think that, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then, you know, like taking the relationship with my own mom, for example, I saw my mom and dad as caretakers of me. I saw them as providers, and I also saw them as authority, and which is so natural when you're a child, right? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, as the child grows, the relationship naturally has to change, right? Because the child is becoming an adult. So, and I found, like, for example, one of the things I noticed with my mom and I was it was really hard to talk to her about stuff going on in my personal life, because, you know, we come from a big culture, and my mom would share stuff with her siblings, you know, so I felt like if I told her intimate stuff going on with me, then it would leave the house and it would go to other households. And so that trust wasn't there. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've had one person jokingly say it this way, TMZ mom, you know?
But see, for me, my family, we had this notion of what happens in the house stays in the house. So it kind of was like the reverse. And I think that goes back to my some things that I had to get over growing up about being open and letting people in about, like, you know, if something's going on. Of course, we always hear, you know, if something's not right, tell somebody. But when you have that conflicting upbringing, it kind of leaves you in the middle of, like, well, you know, like you said, if I do tell somebody, will it, you know, be passed around? So right. Then it leaves a child kind of wondering, well, who can I talk to?
Yes. And you know, this is, you know, there was a lot of beauty between my mom and I, our relationship. I mean, you know, we cook together, we shop together, we garden together. You know, there was so much beauty. And then there was also this side where there was room for improvement, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing I noticed too is, you know, and I saw why my mom was doing it. It really, you know, she would, that was a bonding thing for her to then share, you know, whatever was going on with us, with her sisters, because they had kids and they would share too. So it's sort of like a bonding cultural thing, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. which, you know, I get. At the same time, if your stuff is all out there, it can be a little, you feel vulnerable, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the lack of trust, you know, and so that was a big thing, Renee, was the lack of trust. The other thing is, you know, that leads to feeling like you don't have that intimate bond with your mom, right? Because mm-hmm. when you trust someone, it's like you do, you know, you feel like, oh, great, I can let my hair down. I can be who I am with no judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And that creates a level of intimacy between the people, because what I really wanted was to be seen and witnessed by my mom, you know? Mm-hmm. And what I found was we had a dynamic where I was seeking approval. I was trying my best to live up to her expectations of me. And I felt like I was, you know, I felt like I was walking on eggshells with her. If I didn't look a certain way, if my, you know, makeup wasn't done a certain way, or my hair wasn't brushed a certain way, you know? And so I almost felt like it was a little, I wanted a deeper connection with her, and she, you know, what I had was more of, a caretaker, a provider, you know, someone who loves me in their way. But what I really, really yearned was for that being seen and accepted by my mom for who I am. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I feel like I was watching, I think it's on Hulu. It's called Little Fires Everywhere. It's a TV series, and it kind of showed a lot of things that, like, we're mentioning right now on this podcast episode about wanting to get your mother's approval and trying to live up to the standards that, you know, your parents have for you. Right. And I can understand, as a parent, you know, you want your child to be better than you, you know, all of those things. But I think there needs to be a little bit of conversation about, you know, individuality, and other things, you know.
Yes. And that's where the healing comes in, because the way I look at it, there's really like three phases of this with your mom. I mean, it's the healing, the reconnection, and then like the deepening of the relationship, you know. Because I found the healing didn't start happening until I learned who I was. Actually,
gotcha.
You know, I really had to hit the pause button, and because, you know, I would get really upset if my mom, you know, called me, said I was getting chunky. It would just really upset me, you know, and I just like that's, and it's so funny because that's the kind of languaging she grew up around. That's how women talk to each other. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but it's like, you know, I had a moment where it's like, you know, it's like we're having this, we're opening up the lines of communication, and then the old dynamic we had came in, and she's like, oh, you know, you're looking chunky here, or something like that. And then it was followed with, go and get me this pot, you know, because she was cooking something. And I just, that moment, Renee, it felt so inauthentic to me.
Wow.
You know, because it was like, okay, my feelings were just hurt, and you're asking me to go do something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like what I was yearning for was something more real, you know? I really wanted to be in a space where, you know, and that's what I've learned to do, and that's what I help women do now is, hey, that comment really hurt my feelings, and, you know, this is why, you know? And hey, you know, that thing you do, can we do less, you know, can we do less of this? And because I, you know, I've learned to love myself, you know, I've struggled with confidence issues. So it's almost like going there and being vulnerable with your mom so she can then see that side of you, and then letting God's grace or whatever you believe in come in and do the rest, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And see, I think that was the hardest thing growing up for me, because of my mom. She was a single mother. She was not a very, she was verbal, but her verbal was basically saying, you know, I provide for you, I do this and that. So growing up, you kind of are like, you know, you're grateful, but you would much rather her love language was different than what I wanted. So my mom was there, like, I had to tell her stuff. She was there for that part, but for the emotional, like, touching part, she wasn't available. So that was something we had to talk about. And like you said, like, with the comments sometimes, you know, I would want to speak up, but we have a thing, you know, you're not supposed to talk back to your parents.
Yes.
And
yes.
All of that.
So there's a thing, you know. Yes. Because so you almost feel like you're split in two, right?
Yes. Yeah, and, like, you want to advocate for yourself, but you don't want to be disrespectful at the same time.
Right. And I found what because I was split in two, it didn't allow me to really hone knowing myself and feeling comfortable with who I am, especially when I stepped out into the real world, you know? And the way that showed up was, I didn't want to rock the boat with people at, you know, at work or friends. I would people please and go along with you know, my, the wishes of my ex-husband and his family. You know, I would not feel comfortable using my voice, you know, simply yeah. just saying no. Like, mm-hmm. and that's another thing. It's, I notice a lot of the mothers and daughters I grew up with, it was really hard for the daughters to say no to the mom and say it authentically, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's like, that's, you know, it's like I was raised to see my mom as authority, you know? And, mm-hmm. and I love my mom, and I've done so much work to understand her thinking. And I see that a lot of it, you know, comes from her, the relationship she had with her mom, the dynamic she had with her sisters, and it goes even further than that, right? Ancestral times where women didn't really speak up. They didn't share their opinions. They supported the tribe. So I see how revolutionary it is for, you know, a woman of color that's grown up in a very, you know, a culture with so many traditions, rules, religions, spoken, unspoken rules, to simply have an opinion and say, hey, that's not cool with me, or let me share, you know, my point of view. Like, that's like, we don't do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... But the problem is, if one doesn't learn how to do that, then you don't really find your place in the world.
Yes. Or you feel over opinionated in the world. Like, if you do find your voice, the society will say, you're too opinionated. That was something I had to deal with, was when I did find my voice, people see me as the over-opinionated individual that had bitterness, or, you know, was too overpowering. So then it suppressed me once again.
Right, right. And that can happen too, because remember, if you were operating one way and all of a sudden you change the way you're operating, of course you're going to be met with resistance. That's just part of the growth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like when I started opening up and using my voice with my mom, it was uncomfortable for her to hear it. She would say things like, I'm just playing with you, or, mm-hmm. Why are you making this a big deal? You know?
Yes.
or, you know, you're so sensitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all those things, I hear her out, but I'm looking to change the dynamic of our relationship, right? So I've got to do my part and voice, you know, and be okay with whatever comes to me. And that's where I really support my clients, because when you're standing up to your mom and you haven't really done that, but in a loving way, that's another thing. Because remember, at the end of the day, what I learned, Renee, is my mom really wanted the same things for me that I wanted. She actually wanted me to feel loved and protected. but she was coming at it from a different way than I was. And that is what was causing the friction. You know, she was coming from it from a way that she knows growing up. So it's my job to share that, you know, hey, I respect, you know, your way, but there's another way. I'm another person, you know?
Yeah.
And that takes time. It takes a plan and it takes support, to do that. But, you know, I know some of the ladies that will listen to this, they're probably like, you know, they may be at stage one where they're trying to heal the trauma from their mom, that relationship, you know, and they may not even think like it's possible to open the door to have that real relationship with your mom. And I have to say that it is possible. You know, I'm living proof. And it really starts with starting to look at your own self and wanting to change that dynamic, if you will.
So what would you tell somebody that is at stage one, in addition to what you just mentioned? Like, would you tell them, of course, to book a session with you? I would recommend that. But what would you say for that person that's starting at stage one?
Yeah.
That, you know, is just kind of, they don't even know what they really want themselves. What would you tell them?
Yeah, you know, that stage one, it really starts with looking at your own responses, you know, and it's not like, I know like some ladies are probably don't want to hear that because there could be so much pain and anger towards their mom. Like, believe me, I know, you know, but in order to start the process of healing, you know, you want to see, you know, you want to start feeling better. You want to start seeing, you know, hey, you know, I'm so frustrated. You know, the sound of my mom's voice makes me just cringe, or, you know, I can't be around that energy today. Like these are opportunities to get curious instead of pushing it away or blaming or what have you. Yes, there's a period that you do that, but if you really want change to happen, it's got to start with you.
Yeah. I definitely agree.
Yeah, it really started for me when I hit the pause button and I started looking at my, you know, why would I get so upset? And of course it was warranted at times, you know, but then I asked myself, am I going to be reacting the same way to this issue for years and years? Something's got to give. You know? And sometimes women, you know, they need help with that self-inquiry because either it's the emotions are too painful, or you get so like confused by what you feel, or you're so in it and you need help. And this is why I created this program called Shanti Shanti Shanti. And it's in honor of my mom. That's her name, Shanti. It's actually her nickname because as a teen, her siblings said she liked to pray a lot. So they gave her the name Shanti. And it's Earth, Mother, Daughter. And what the program is I work with moms and daughters individually or together. And it's healing through the three stages: healing, reconnection, and deepening with their self, with each other, and also introducing Mother Earth to soften your heart. Because that was like pivotal in my transformation, is when I took time for myself to watch my, you know, my own stuff. I did a lot of that in Mother Nature. And that was just so, I started my self-awareness started increasing so much because of Mother Nature. And that is my offering to these women that are in such tough positions and they want to communicate better with their mom. They want to communicate better with the daughter. And it's like, okay, so here you go. There's this offering.
Yeah. And I think this is so, this is a great time to have this episode because Mother's Day is coming up. Mm-hmm. And with us being in quarantine, I know a lot of people that have this internal battle with their mother. It's, this is a time where all of that stuff is coming up. So I think there's no better time than now to get that healing because life is very short. We could be here one day and gone tomorrow. And I know for myself, the greatest thing for me was opening up to my mom. Like you said, mm-hmm. First I had to do some self-reflection. I had to ask God, what is it that I'm possibly doing that is not obedient to my mother that you gave me? And then, like you said, fixing that relationship, asking questions, being bold, but also being respectful. It was difficult because my mother was defensive at first, as most mothers may be, because, when you attack their motherhood or when they feel like their motherhood is attacked, they, get defensive. They put that guard up. And like you mentioned, a lot of the things that they did as parents were from their parents or the lack thereof. So we have to love everybody like it says in the Bible. But we also do have to set a standard of how we want to be loved as well.
Yes, absolutely. And it's being able to recognize what's going on, then acknowledging what's going on, and then making a decision to course correct. Like, that's really, like, if you want to improve the relationship, with your mother or daughter, it is possible, but you have to be receptive and open and ready to do it.
Yes.
With that too, Renee, I will say, for your listeners, I am going to offer a 30-minute complimentary coaching session. If anyone's having, this particular issue, wanting a closer bond, wanting to understand their mom or their daughter better, they can definitely connect with me and schedule that.
Oh, wow. What a great offer, y'all. Take advantage. Because you are definitely, like, we've talked before this episode, and we had a previous episode, like I mentioned. And just your story is powerful, and it's made me reflect on my relationship with my mom. So I definitely recommend everybody listening to this to please get in touch with her. Can you let my listeners know how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, Renee. What I'm going to do is I'll send you a direct link, and they can schedule on my calendar for that free complimentary 30-minute session.
Okay. Are you still there?
What did you say, Renee?
Oh, I was saying, are you still there?
I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay. Because it just went pause on my end. Well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. I appreciate it once again. We love you here, so definitely don't hesitate to come back. And I'm, like I said, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you coming on.
Well, Renee, it is time, I feel, for us to, like you said, life is too short. It's time to do that healing work with yourself and open the door to it with your mom if you want to go there. Because when you do that, I mean, beautiful things happen, and a lot for me, I notice my confidence increased, my trust in life increased, and I felt worthiness, simply because.
Not only that we talk, but we build like billionaires.